moving around. You still a little sore?
Oh boy, yesterday was a dreadful day. But I've healed up quite a bit. I feel a lot better today. Bernice, you want to say hi?
Hi, Ted.
Bernice found your projectile in the strawberry patch, so I got it here out of the shooter.
Good deal. Is that the one we made out of conduit?
Solid aluminum billet that you machined.
Well, good deal. Good deal. We got that thing up talking yet?
I could hardly even lift that coax cable. I should move it out of the way yesterday down in the basement. There's no real urgency in it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go out there and switch the super loop over to another antenna connection in the switch box and then transmit through it to make sure that RF relay in there is still working fine before I hook that up. I did go down and run my analyzer just like we did with yours, and it came out 2.0, so almost identical to what you had, and that made me very happy.
That's good. What'd we get, 2.2? Is that what we got on mine?
Oh, thereabouts, 2.2 or 2.4. But you'll find this funny, and it's really bugging me. I walked down and showed Amy and Jordan. By the way, Jordan says he wants to come up and see you sometime. He's just 13 years old, but I've told him about you. And he's all the time playing those games on the video, of which you know I'm talking about. Boy, he's good, too. I walked in there the other day, and one of them had a rifle. I said, "What is that?" And it looked identical to one of those Japanese rifles you showed me one time. And he named it off explicitly. He's kind of a quiet kid, but he's very intelligent. But what I was going to ask you, you were going so fast, and I was trying to keep up and hurting. Where we put that little insulator up there at the top of the big tree, you had to go back over into the timber down there behind the targets someplace. And I remember seeing you out in the bush down there, like some aborigine. And I can't see where that rope comes down. You did put a rope out that way, didn't you?
About where the antenna makes an L, it comes up off of the post, goes straight up, and then takes a dog leg to the left. You talking about that insulator?
I am. But you had to tie another parachute cord on it going back to the south, right?
So what we did, we ran the insulator and the pull rope and the antenna up at the same time. So the rope for the insulator at the entry point is tied to that rubber block, maintaining tension at that 90-degree point at the oak tree with the other tensioner.
Where the super loop comes down. Yeah, I went out and changed that. I had a lead weight like a skin diver uses that I couldn't find that day you were here, and it works out just fine, and it looks a lot better than that chalk does on there. But that comes down right there. I thought you was going to go out in the timber with it, but that won't pull loose to the left, back to the north, even though it goes, that would be going straight up the same tree that it makes the L on, correct?
We stopped short about 8 to 10 feet up at the top because of that one limb. And when I looked at it last, the copper clad wire was, I don't know, about 3 feet from touching one of the limbs. I mean, if that's not what you want, just let me know. We'll go out there and shoot again and move it where you want.
Up there, most assuredly, very happy. So I'm not going to do anything with it. I just figured that it'd fall back to the direction of the main L if it didn't have something pulling back into the forest. You see what I mean?
I see what you're saying, but I think the other end over there at the strawberry patch is gonna keep enough tension on that to keep it in that L configuration. The other thing I thought of too was that limb that was a problem. If we can get our hands on a limb saw that's, you know, you attach the wire, I'd shoot over that with that limb saw and just take that thing completely out of the way. But I didn't see it as an issue, but if you think it is, just let me know and we'll come up here and dress it up.
I'd say leave it well enough alone. That was enough of what a job, Chad. I certainly thank you over and over and over. No, if that sucker stays up there in that configuration, as far as I'm concerned, it's beautiful. If it comes down or changes its characteristics, well, then we'll worry about it right now. I went out there in that timber, and I was, Jordan and I was looking back there, way back in the back there, for another rope, because I thought you was back there at one time, and no, Chad must have hid it there, and there ain't no rope back there, so that satisfies my mind. I'm not going nuts. I'm already there in zero TR.
And four DKC.
Hey, Jerry. Good morning. How are you, sir? Good morning. Nice to hear you on here this morning. Tom, well, I got a question for you, but we'll let Jerry go first. Go ahead, Jerry.
You guys, I want to say good morning to you. Both of you are doing well. I'll carry on. I'll be here on the side.
I got it.
Come right in with us, Jerry. You're most welcome. We put up a 160-meter antenna, I'm sure you're aware of. And I say we, Chad did most of it, with a folded counterpoise, and Bernice and I did the folded counterpoise. But boy, that was a job, Jerry, so stick around in there. I got to get Jordan to meet you someday, Chad. Anyways, and he's young. And my oldest grandson, I'm very proud of him, and he's a monster, and he's more knowledgeable than he should be, put it that way. KO4NUE and 0TR.
The question I have is, how are you going to get the coax through the underground pipe?
Got an underground pipe. I would say that I'd use a parachute. But I'm going to go through the air out there. The flagpole's going to be the support, and then it's going back up to that stub where the super loop goes through. And I haven't quite developed my plan yet for Kellum grip or something like that. Not certain yet, but I got 150 foot of LMR 400 that'll go from that switch box out there. And that's measuring pretty close, so hope it works out all right. But I got quite a bit of other spare pieces that I could splice, which I don't like to do, but I could. But I think I'll just go through the air, Chad, over.
At some point, you do have something going underground, though, right?
What I have is from the house to that switch box at the edge of the driveway. The rest of it goes through the air out to the super loop, and then it goes from the switch box directly up to the Carolina Wyndham.
What I'm getting at. So the best way I have figured out to get coax through a pipe is I take a fishing reel and tie a shop rag to the end of the line stuck it down in the pipe and then take a shop vac and suck that rag through that pipe. And I mean, it sucks it through there like you wouldn't believe. Then tie your paracord to the monofilament and pull it back through. Then tie your coax to the parachute cord and pull it back through. So my whole point of this whole conversation is, if you want to bury it or get it underground out there to your switch box, just let me know. I don't think that'd be a problem.
Well, that would be wonderful, Chad. I'd like that, but I'm just not able. You'd have to have a trencher or something, and then you might run into a root or two out there. I don't know, from the trees, but I'm just not able to dig a trench out there, I don't think. I hadn't even considered that. I was going to go through the air, but I'd much rather not, of course.
So I'm not sure we're talking about the same thing here. So let me make sure I got what you're doing. So you've got a line coming from the amplifier to under the concrete driveway, coming up out of the ground. Is that correct?
Four-way automated switch, Chad, that uses 12 volts AC to do the switching between four coaxial relays, we'll call them, out in a box. And that box is at the edge of the driveway, and you just select 1, 2, 3, or 4 on the box. They make them even for more. But that way, I only have to run one coax from the radio, or the amp, if you want to call it, from my station underground out to that switch box. And it's just one piece of coax there. And then that little switch there on top of my radio, I just switch whichever antenna I want to select. Copy.
Okay, I understand now. So you're gonna tap in at the RF switch on the other side of the driveway instead of running the new line along with the one that's already there. So, okay, I understand now. So you, how you gonna support the coax up in the air? That's a pretty good run.
TR-KO4NUE. Chad, there's steel cable running out there to that. I don't know if you noticed that old tree that had been cut off about 10 foot high. There's steel cable running out there to that. And then the coax is tie wrapped to the steel cable. And what I was going to do is go from that stub over to the big tree we put the antenna on by the counterpoise. And tie it to a steel cable out there, and works pretty good. That's the way the other is for most of the way. Some of the way down there up to the super loop, there's probably 30 feet that's just coax hanging up in the air, and then it goes up to the ballon on the super loop.
Like a messenger line. Okay. All right, good deal. Okay, I got it now. Well, when you get ready to run it, let me know. I'll come up there and help you with it. But Monday I've got the Mount Mitchell bike race. We're gonna be providing radio communications for Mount Mitchell. And then Tuesday I got something, I can't remember what it is, so yeah, it'll have to be toward the end of the week, though.
I didn't expect that, Chad. You know me, I don't like to lean on anybody, but love to have you over. And Bernice might fix us a nice small lunch like we had the other day. Well, I just finished eating breakfast with homemade, what do you call those, Mom? Muffins, blueberry muffins and eggs and sausage and et cetera, et cetera. And playing like I'm retired here. Well, I Jerry. I'm sorry to cut you out. In 4DJC in 0GR. Go ahead, Jerry.
For you guys, I was enjoying listening to the antenna situation there and how you were dealing with it. And I had a question for you, Tom, and maybe Chad has done this too, but I got two points here where I'm going to get an infit halfway with a 49-1 toroid wound. So it'll be resin on 40, 20, and 10. It's a short one. It's kind of a trail-ready type, portable-type antenna. But anyway, I could feed it from the top window up here at about 30 feet above and then feed it as a sloper down to the ground. But I could also, I don't know how to do it. I don't have enough elevation in the backyard to put anything up. I don't have a tree or anything to hook it on. That's pretty much the only thing. But I understand maybe that might not be the best situation. I might need to feed it from the ground up to the window or to the eave of the house or something like that. And just run coax, you know, to the feed point. Have the feed point, you know, it's like a sloper, I guess, would be what I'd call it. Close to the ground and up in the antenna, up above. Tommy, you built more wire antennas probably than anybody I know of, and what would be your advice as far as it's pretty simple to do it either way, but rather start out, on the wrong foot. I'd rather see if I could do it that way. Plus I got power lines on both sides, so I'm not really sure if it's gonna be worth much of an effort to try to do anything with it in 4DJC.
Well, you know what? Chad's developed a lot of smarts on these too, and so we'll get his input on it. And boy, he's got a beautiful analyzer. I really like it. I got one. By the way, Chad, both of those are made in Ukraine. I just wonder how our warranty is. Mine's off warranty. Anyways, Jerry, I just come up and went through the concrete blocks and through the suspended ceiling in the basement, and I had one of those long solid coaxial all thread connectors that I went through with, and of course I put a Alpha Delta lightning arrestor in series with it and hooked it to the common ground in the house. But go ahead, Chad, KO4NUE in 0GR.
Here's my input. Let me make sure I got it. Preface this by saying, Jerry, I don't have near the experience you and Tom do, but I hate anything vertical. I hate it. I just cannot get them to quieten down. I have tried and tried and tried, and I just can't. I don't know whether it's my location or I'm doing something wrong. I don't know, but I just gave up on them. I don't like them, but I understand what you're doing. So here's my suggestion: is let me bring this launcher up there, and in about 5 minutes, probably hang you four or five guy wires up into pull wires, pull strings up into trees, so you can do testing. Don't have to climb no ladder. Don't have to, just leave them hanging in the tree, which is what I've done. I've got three of them around the property. And when I want to go test one, I just hang it up in the tree and see, if what I built is workable. And you're going to have a dipole up in, probably 10 minutes or less to test it. But I don't know if that helps you at all. But I'd be glad to do that if that would be helpful.
Okay, damping down trees in the yard. They've all been taken down, and that's the issue. I can just reach out the window here. Like I said, I can just reach out the window here on the second story and get something hooked up out there, just simply a pulley system. But I was just, this would be the infit halfway, would be a dipole, so it just feeds from one end. But I understand from some of the guys I've talked to that run these on these QRP rigs like I'm running, that they get better results if they had the feed point at the bottom of the slipper. This would probably run, it's only about 40, it's kind of a short 10 feet. It's only about 43 feet long. It'd be running probably about 20, it wouldn't be running even to 45. It may go shallower than that, but I could put something in the backyard where I could get it up off the ground, you know, like 6 feet or so, to keep somebody from running into it. And I could always pull it inside, but I was just curious about the feed point, where the feed point would be better, at the lower end of the sloper or on the top end of the sloper. I'm not sure if that's explained it very well or not.
Yeah, I got you. On the lower end, I've done both, and there is, for me now, this is, you know, my situation. The noise was just, it was considerably higher with the feed point at the top. If I drop it down on the ground, the noise level went down. It was still more than I wanted to deal with, but it was considerably different. And one thing that I did experiment, and I have not been able to figure out why yet, is the toroid. I dipped it in liquid glass and let it cure, so that absolutely no moisture. I thought moisture or humidity was creating some of the noise. So I dip it in liquid glass and just make this block so you can see the toroid through it, and, you know, have your access points coming through the liquid glass. But that didn't seem to help any. But it looks cool. And it definitely is watertight. But, that's been my experience at the bottom.
That's easily doable. I could feed it from the side. I could run out the window here and then feed it from the base of the house. And I might be able to see if I can't find some one of these collapsible telescopic pole type things where I can run it up about 25 or so feet that way and put it out of the bag. Just as a, you know, that way I can take it up and take it down when I need to. It's only going to be, I think the wire, the antenna part of the wire is only about 22, 26 gauge, something like that. It's pretty light. It's just, it only weighs about 3 or 4 ounces. It's more of a, you know, one of these soda or, you know, soda type operations, but with 5 or 10 watts, I don't have to worry about having a huge toroid or something like that that gets saturated in a hurry. And I could look at it, I could take it down, up and down as I please, but I just don't want to put a whole lot of effort in it without, you know, I want to start out my thinking in the right direction rather than then on the opposite end being close to being heading down the right direction rather than wrong direction, because you can just go just as fast in one as you can on the other. N4DGC.
Cool, boy, you are right. KO4NUE. Go ahead and take it, Tom.
This is Gerald TR. Well, Chad's got more experience than I do at that. I never had one wire antenna up in Kansas because I had a beam that was good for 10, 12, 15, 17, and 20, and I didn't have the real estate to run wire antennas. I just had a sloper off the tower on 80, and it worked, but not great. But my experience with 160, by the way, on the band scope, which is 27 inches, it's the most horrible thing at times I've ever seen, with harmonics at 10 kc's all the way across the screen at times. I don't know where that comes from. They put these new additions in around here, and the neighbor put in solar, but I don't think, I'm just guessing. She don't have any battery backup or anything, so I don't see how they inverted. I think they're 48-volt panels, if I remember looking at the nomenclature on them. And so they'd have to have inverters in the panels or something. But it could be that. I just don't know, because I've checked it at different times of day. And the old saying goes, a vertical radiates equally bad in all directions, Chad. And that's always been my theory, but the boys have had real good luck on 160 with the vertical, so that's why I wanted one. to see if I could, if nothing else, I'll use it for receive and then switch over to the horizontal antenna to transmit, is my thoughts. We'll just have to wait and see the winter time, because right now 160 probably, and I haven't been on it, is useless in the summertime. You can go ahead, Jerry, in 4DJC and 0TR.
Well, Tom, I've had pretty good results on verticals, but I didn't have a transformer sitting 40 feet away from me either. I had a little more open space. It's ground-mounted. It had a bunch of radios running for it, which I could do that here, but I just, like I said, I just don't want to spend a lot of money. You know, I think what I'll do is I may just, you know, try a wire antenna out, and maybe just run a long wire out here just to see what it sounds like on receive, see how noisy it is. That'd probably be the best situation for me to try, and it'd be the least expensive. That way I won't be wasting money, but the infield is a good option for me. And of course, I can move it around too. It's not that big of a waste of few ounces. It's just a temporary portable type thing anyway. But I didn't, I haven't had, I really haven't done anything on HF here other than just doing some listening on. I mean, I can you know, listen pretty good on 20 and 40 and all the short wave bands. It's not terribly noisy because I don't run a switch of power supply, I run a battery. I don't have a lot of noise, but I do have a guy that's got solar panels, you know, on the back side of the house of me here. He's running solar panels, and we've got two or three up and down the street here. But I don't hear anything that sounds like a solar panel, but I don't know. You know, like I said, I don't listen to those bands, you know, when they would be operational anyway, so it may just be a false hope type thing. M4DJC.
Comment. KO4NUE. All right, so here's my lessons with the noise. So Dad's got a bunch of lawnmowers, boats, tractors, blah, blah, blah. And back behind his house, he keeps battery maintainers on them, which is, you know, one and a half amp battery chargers, pretty much what they are. And he'll go, you know, when one goes bad, he'll go to Costco and buy one. Well, he bought one, I don't know, about 6-8 months ago. One of them went bad. He went to Costco and bought a little old cheapy, something like Black & Decker, I think is what it was. And he wiped me out. And it took me almost 2 months to figure out where the noise was coming from. It was intermittent. It would, you know, it would come, it'd be there one day and it'd disappear the next. But took me a while to find it. But if you got, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you got a battery charger somewhere, or the neighbor does, has a good 250, 300 yards away, and he just killed me. But once I figured out what it was. Just keep that in mind. Battery chargers, cheap ones, are horrible. I don't know what it is about them, but it's just awful.
Chad, those are switch mode, I would almost bet you, because they're smaller and powerful. And you know what? You just answered my question, because Tim, for a long time there, he had his bass boat down there, and I'm sure he plugged those chargers into it. Bingo. I'll go chew him out. Yeah, Jerry, I use all analog stuff on the power supplies and that. By the way, I wanted to tell you, I had a flagpole for a long time that I kind of wanted to put a Confederate flag on, because I'm proud to be part of South Carolina now. But you know how things went. But I'm not politically correct, but I don't want to invite problems. I don't think anybody said anything up in this area. But I put my flag out in the backyard, but it's just an American flag, and I had a windsock on it, but I took it down. It wasn't doing much good. Just always wanted one. And that's where I intend to run my coax as a support to, maybe. And Chad's got me thinking now. But you might go to Harbor Freight and price their telescoping flagpoles. They're quite nice. They go up, I'm going to say about 20 feet. Chad could comment on that, and they're an attractive pole, and it was very reasonably priced, but I'd had it for several years, so I don't know I'd always planned on using it for an antenna support, but I finally got it in down there in the middle of the property out back, and it really looks nice with the flag on it, so I don't want to get rid of the flag. But it might be an alternative. What if you price conduit lately? It's biting the ice, put it that way. It's just exorbitant now. I was an electrician 50 years and used a lot of conduit. I've never seen prices like they are today. N4DJC and 0TR.
I thought about that, but they make it like a 25, 30-foot fiberglass telescopic pole, specifically for those things that aren't, they're not very sturdy or anything, but they'll do for four of them. Of course, since I've got battery operation, it's really going to weigh about 2 pounds. I can move anywhere I want to. So I could set up operation just about anywhere. But I might take the plunge. It ain't but about 60 or 70 bucks when he's in phase. I might take the plunge and try it anyway. Might be able to use it at another location as well. But, because as I said, here is just not a good location or property for HF. It doesn't seem to be too noisy here, but it's noisy enough where it might be a problem, might be a problem when I start transmitting on HF. But we'll just have to see. That may be a thing. I may just have to roll the dice and give it a try. I've never used wire antenna. I've had people put up a lot of them over the years, and just dipoles mainly. But I've never used one for anything other than receiving them shortwave years ago.
I need to run down the hall for just a second here, and I'll be back in a minute in 0TR.
Well, like I said, Jerry, I've messed with them, I don't know, four or five times, trying everything I know to do to make them work. But it's the weirdest thing, though. Some people swear by them. It's just the greatest thing in the world. But, where my location is, and I don't have, substations and housing developments that close to me. I'm out in the middle of, 35 acres. I got enough room to do, pretty much what I want, but I couldn't do anything with it. Absolutely nothing. It got so frustrating. I just said, hey, you know what? Just what you said a few minutes ago. I'm moving in the wrong direction, and I'm not going to keep throwing time and money in the wrong direction. I'm going to try something else.
Kind of like my granddad used to say, he's ain't really throwing money up wild hogs, you know what? But, I've gone just as fast in the wrong direction as I have in the right direction, too. See, I've tried to get a lot of input, and over the years, I hadn't operated HF in years, so the band conditions were totally different then. The bands were hot. I mean, the sunspot number was up in the 270s, 280s. And, I mean, you could work anywhere on 5 watts on 10 or 15 meters. I used to talk to Australia, New Zealand, Japan, South Africa. Never had much luck in Europe on 40 meters back then because the broadcasters were on 40 meters then. There were a lot of them back in the late 70s and early 80s. That kind of blotted out everything for 10KC, the direction of the signal. But regardless, it may be one of those things I just have to not do. I didn't buy any of this stuff with HF in mind because I wanted to be able to use because I like D-Star, and this radio's got D-Star, and it's also had good shortwave reception as well, which I like to do. And, of course, it's got all mode, VHF, UHF, which I can do about anything I need to. It just didn't run a lot of power, but it's portable. I could pick it up, throw it in the car somewhere, and set up something somewhere along the parkway on 2 meters if I wanted to, or whatever I wanted to do. Also use it for satellite too, which is pretty handy. It's not the best thing in the world, but it's a lot easier to work than most of the other radios are. Plus, if the screen's big enough where I can read the letters of it. Oh my goodness. But anyway, I appreciate your input. That's pretty much what I'd heard. And, sometimes some of the stuff you read on the internet, you can believe some of it, but most of the time, best thing to do is don't believe any of it.
TR.
Roger that. I, like I said, there's something else I was going to tell you too, Jerry. Oh, yeah. So, boxed my ICOM up and called the guy down at Skyland Claremont Radio and TV Service, told him what it was doing. And he said, I know exactly what's going on with it. Send it down here to me, and let me make sure that's what it is, and then I'll call you on the phone, give you a quote. And he says, I'll probably have it back to you in, 2 to 3 weeks. So just want to let you know it's in the mail headed down there, so appreciate the information about that. I'll let you know when I get it back. KO4NUE, go ahead and take it, Tom.
Well, he's having problems with Chad, but I got a quick question, and I had a question for Jerry. Chad, how was that strawberry pie?
Well, it lasted about 10 minutes. What does that tell you?
Well, you didn't eat it all, did you? Miss Anna got some, didn't she?
Well, I let her know, that it was her sister's turn to take care of her mom, so her sister was over there at the house. And, I took the pie and put it in the back of the refrigerator so nobody could see it. And Anna's on to me. She knows I'll, squirrel it in the back of the refrigerator in a minute. Well, I heard her sister come in, and then they in there whispering. And when them two, I call them the dynamic duo. When you hear them in there whispering, you better get up and see what's going on, because something's not right. So they had, they fixed them a glass of wine and had that little strawberry pie out there. And I got a third of it. So, and I took it just as quick as I could get it. But she gave me the old stink eye because she found it back in the refrigerator.
That's fair play, when Bernice gave you some stuff one other time, you never even made it home with it. And then didn't tell Anna about it, so sneaky is as sneaky does. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Bernice is outside watering flowers right now, and I think I'll mow grass later. But Jerry, where do you get those telescoping fiberglass poles at? That's what I wanted to ask you in 4DJC and Gerald TR.
MFJ makes those things. I think you can see them at DX Engineering. They got them up to about 30 feet, I think. But they're kind of like, they look more like a big, almost like a cane pole or something. They're kind of flimsy, but they only meant to hold up just a little bit of, because that, like I said, that antenna wire release for these soda embedded half waves is so light, it doesn't need much, it doesn't have much weight. They kind of look kind of like a bent fishing pole to me with a catfish on the end of it. But it gets it up in the air, and I think you have to put some guys up for it too, but not much. But it's one of those 10 minute up, 10 minute down propositions. And Chad, I was fixing right then about that, asking about that 706. And of course, being old and feeble, I forgot about it. I'm glad that I was able to help you. And hopefully, they'll get it prepared for you at a reasonable price. But those folks from all people I've spoke with over the last several years, they know their stuff. They do some beautiful work. They restore TVs, old stereo systems, and radios from the 30s and 40s. They do the woodworking on them too. When those guys go out of business, we're going to be missing a big deal, because they are really good on just about any radio that anything you receive, anything it transmits. But, Liam's out putting out sides. Yesterday, put out about $70 worth of side. I didn't want watching it working, but she worked her, what off out there. It was so hot outside. And I tell you what, I had a bat drag back inside to get some water.
KO4NUE, N0TR, N4DJC. How you doing today, Keith?
Good. Hope you gentlemen are doing the same. I've been in and out, kind of listening to the conversation, and I had a question about poles. Tom mentioned the Harbor Freight telescopic pole. I was not aware they had those. That's very interesting. But Tom, would I be correct in assuming that wouldn't be good for a vertical? That'd just be good for like supporting a dipole over?
Correct. Yeah. What I'm using it, well, it's not high enough for one thing, but I'm just using it to support my coaxial cable going from, well, it's a couple hundred feet out there to some of my antennas, or 150, I should say, and I just happened to have that, and I bought it at Harbor Freight a couple of years ago when prices were normal. It's a very nice flagpole. It's aluminum, and it's got a little brass ball on top of it that, of course, is a Tina product, so it's not brass. It's probably painted, but it sure makes a pretty flagpole. It's got some nice connectors on it, but that's all I use it for, Keith. Over.
So that's what I was expecting, and what about interactions of aluminum light with a dipole at the feed point, you know, where the ballon is? Is that kosher, or do you need a non-metallic right there around the feed point, the ballon and all?
You know what? I've never heard that asked before. I don't know, because I'm fortunate. We just got 1.2 acres here, but I'm fortunate to have lots of nice big oak trees and nut trees and things of that nature. I've never run into that. Jerry, you take it and pass it over to Chad. We've got to get somebody with some more smarts here. It's in 0TR.
Keith, hope you're doing well. Good to hear you. Yeah, Chad, those fiberglass masks, some of them are like 20 feet tall. I may try something like that. Telescope that way I can put up. If it don't work out, I'm sure some may be interested in it. But Keith, I did see something at DX Engineering for a telescoping masks like that. But good Lord, those aluminum ones were really expensive, I thought. And I don't know whether you'd have to have something special to secure them to the ground, or you could attach it to a 4x4 post or not. But, man, I looked at one of those. Of course, I'd have to, you know, it wouldn't be of any use to me. I couldn't get it up high enough to do much good. But those things were really expensive, I thought. Plus, you got to pay for the transport and that sort of thing as well, especially if you go put a vertical on it. Jay, go ahead and pick it up. I got to jump out of here for a little bit. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Keith, that's KO4NUE. I have not had a problem with coax and feed points until you get involved with ladder line. Ladder line is a different animal in itself, you know, and one thing that I have experienced, and this is just me, is that the bigger the ladder line, the further you need to be away from the metal, support pole. 400 ohms seems to be a little bit more sensitive than the, was it 300 or 350 ohm? But I haven't had any issues with coax, you know. But that's just my experience.
Sounds like the computer was starting to drop out a little bit that time. So yeah, my transmission might be a little fuzzy too, but yeah, that makes sense. And I don't use anything with ladder line. It's all the dipole I have mounted now. I've got on a chimney mount. I use the chimney mount mass pipe, which is, I think it's actually thin wall steel, you know, chrome plated or something. But then I got me a piece of PVC that would slip over top of it. So that's what I've got to hook and all for the ballon to mount to. I just did that just to make sure that it wasn't going to be an issue. But yeah, it does make sense that it wouldn't be as big of an issue with coax as it would with I know I've seen other stuff fed with ladder line, and they usually have it offset way off of the. Off of usually typically a tower. So yeah, that makes perfect sense. And Tom, I wanted to pass along to you, I've got a couple of fiberglass poles. I've got one that is a spider beam pole, and I believe that one is 10 meters, so about 30 foot. And then I have another one that is a PX Commander pole. It's 12 meters, so what, 33, 36 foot, something like that. And of course, the DX Commander comes from the UK, so that one's probably going to be really expensive right now. Both of them are nice poles. Over.
10-4-NUE. Fellas, I got to skip out. Tom, I enjoyed talking to you. Jerry, you too. Keith, y'all be safe. 73. 10-4-NUE. I'm clear.
Great to hear you this morning, Chad. Just drop by anytime. You're not that far off, you know. And we'll talk to you down the line. Keith, that sounds great. And these antennas can get expensive. I didn't realize I had this much money in this vertical, but when I bought 150 foot of LMR 400, gosh, I think it's up to about $1.60 a foot if I'm calculating right in my head. It was $239.95 for 150 foot, and it has the PL259 on each end, which I didn't care about that necessarily. I got it from HRO, but they sure are quick and a good place I found to get stuff from. It was here in like 1 or 2 days, and out of Atlanta, of course. But then I bought that isolation transformer, which resembles a Balun from Balun Designs, and I highly recommend them. It's a 2,000 watt, and I think some of them are even 5 that they got. But a great piece of equipment. Well, that was another $100, and then you had to buy your wire, and that was about another $100 time I got them. I was going to tell Chad after I looked, I had a piece of this insulated copper-clad steel. And I like it very much. I think it's a 513 silky or something, but the wireman was out at the time, so I just bought bare copper-clad steel. And it's only 22 cents a foot, and it works quite well. I know a lot of guys that have it. But if you ever hear N4IQ Bill on here, he's just brilliant when it comes to HF antennas and especially wire antennas. And NY4G, that's another guy I'd classify up there. Those two people are really, really extremely knowledgeable. Bill's got, I don't know, 7 different ones out in the backyard. And he's worked every country in the world there is to work. I've only got 302 now, but I need to finish and get the XCC on 160, but boy, that's a booger of a band. So, at any rate, that's my goal for next winter. And so I really appreciate Chad helping me with this. He's a great guy. Anyway, and don't tell him I said that, of course. Keith and Jerry, I'm going to say goodbye because I got to go outside and get prepared to mow the grass and do some other things. I got some antenna testing to do there with that switch box. Great hearing you, Keith. And I'll let you take it from there, and I'll say the pleasure's all mine, gentlemen. This is N0TR73.
One more question before you get out of here. On the antenna farming average, I'm on 2 acres out here, and I'm going to start in on different things. I think the next thing is probably going to be up in that halfway. But the antenna switch you're using, the four-way antenna switch, what kind of price do those things garner, and like brand name or whatever to look for, and that kind of info over?
Well, I'd get HRO's catalog or call them. I'm upstairs in my other radios in the basement, and I can't see the number on it, but it's a 4-position. And then you have a little switch box. It's very small. You set on your radio station table, and you can switch with a regular switch in between them. and it just requires a wall wart. And I think, ironically, it's 12 volts AC, and it does the switching through the shield and the coax, if I remember reading it right, but it's been several years since I read that. And at the time I got mine, it was around $150. Now, as you well know, with inflation being what it is, it may be $189 now. I don't know. But you can go to HRO Atlanta's website and look for antenna switching, and it'll be on there, Keith. Over.
Gotcha. Yeah, and that's kind of the price range I was expecting. And the same way, like I was saying with the spider beam, you know, back when I bought it, it was probably, seems like it's like right at $100 for that 10-meter pole, so probably expect $150 now. All right, thanks for the info, Tom, and I'm going to be having to do the same thing here pretty quick. I got grass from O2 on this 2 acres, so it ain't slowing down none for me. In fact, it's speeding it up.
Well, if you ever get up around Greer here, I'm good in QRZ, and drop by and just holler your call sign down here, and you're quite welcome, Keith. And if you don't holler your call sign, you best be able to run over 1,000 foot a second. That's what I told Chad. I'm from Kansas, you know. Shoot, just kidding, of course. Anyways, Keith, yeah, I think you enjoy that, and that way you can have multiple antennas. They got them with more switches in them, and they're just little relays. And you only have to run one coax out to that box, and then run your antennas from the box. Mine goes under the concrete, you know, under the back driveway. I installed conduit there. But they are a very useful tool. I don't know who else makes them, but MFJ is doing a better job than they did in the old days when we called them mighty fine junk. They're making some quality things, and I think they also own Ameritron now, or vice versa. And that's what my amp is an Ameritron solid state. And it's an ALS 1300, and I just love it. It's really quality. And that's the first thing I do is take the lid off. And I worked in electronics and electrical all my life, and I look at the workmanship, and they're doing a better job, put it that way, and they stand behind their products. Take care, Keith. 73s, and don't get too sunny out there today. It's NJRLTR.
If I ever make it over the Beer area, I'd have to give you a shout out, because I'm really interested in this last antenna you put up, or that you're putting up. I was over at Jack Norris's house one time, and he was showing me the multi-position switch for his antenna. He's got it mounted at the top of the tower, so he's got just a short coax run to the antennas. And ever since I've seen that, I was intrigued with that idea, but it's about getting that time. Anyway, have a good afternoon, and don't get overheated out there. I'm going to try not to do the same, and we'll catch you later at 0TRK in 4CHBuck.
Okay, Keith. Yeah, you're welcome anytime. And you can look at Kilowatt 2 Alpha Victor K2AV, and it's a folded counterpoise, 160-meter inverted L. Never tried one before, and I'm anxious to that. And the reason for it is you don't have to lay out a bunch of radials. There's just 3 4x4s, and they're positioned 33 feet apart. And then you just make your counterpoise with copper-clad steel, and you run it back and forth across there, and they're separated about 4 inches apart 3 times. And so, to me, that's like a transformer action between the vertical inverted L, and that is your radials, basically. And I'm not a scientist. I'm not an antenna expert like Ariel and Bill. But that's the way I perceive it, and I think Chad did too. And from what the boys tell me, November Delta 7 Japan is an excellent radio operator up in Hendersonville. And him and Fred, and he's another excellent operator, they put up one at their contest station up in the mountains, and they say it does quite well. But that's, I got it specifically tuned to about 1.825, and that's where I like to operate CW at, on that band. And I can use the horizontal one I got, the Carolina Wyndham, which they work quite well. And my super loop is excellent. The W4DJW helped me put up my first one when we moved here from Kansas. And I worked over 1,000 contacts that year on that. And, you know, I never had one like that before, and it's just wonderful. The other night I worked Mongolia and Russia, and right after that, Ukraine, ironically. They've been off the air, as you know, and or would expect. And it works great. And I was really disheartened when I moved down here because I'd had a tower and a beam. But if Bill can do it and work every country in the world on wire antennas, I figure I might as well give her a try. So they do work well, and they're fun to tinker with, and you do need an antenna analyzer to check them, although you don't use it very often. It's a really great tool. 73 ski in 0TR clear.
N4DJC back.
Jerry, have a good day, and I'll let you pick it up with Keith there in 0TR.
Tommy, have a good afternoon. I thought you might be signing out. You and Bernice have a good afternoon. Stay cool. So is Chad still in here, Keith, or just you and I?